Right? You say she anoint. What do you think she anoint herself with? Durian oil? Of course, the best perfume. Right? When they anoint themselves, they anoint with fragrance. Could smell her a mile off. Then she comes and she waits. Now notice the fourth thing she did. She waited until the man had eaten and drunk. That means until that man is Boaz. Until Jesus has completed everything he wanted to do. Everything he wanted to reveal himself with. Is it part of what he's doing? It's not only perfecting the church, he's revealing himself to the world through the church. Everything he wanted to do, the dispensations of God. The washing represents the perfection of the word. The church become the word made flesh. The anointing represents the Holy Spirit coming in fullness in the church. The clothing represents the glory and the praise that is on the church. The perfection of praise. And number four, you notice she came down in verse 4 and she uncovered his feet and she lies down right at his feet. That is the church perfectly submitting to Jesus Christ and his authority. The feet of Jesus, we submit to his authority. That's the fourth thing. Now when that happened and Boaz accepted her, you notice she was rewarded. And this was a reward. In verse 15, Boaz says, bring the shawl that is on you and hold it. Now the shawl was part of her best garment. And the best garment represents praise and worship, the perfection of praise. And so she is bringing now a garment that she has to contain something that he's going to give. So my friends, if you want to enter that fullness of what God wants, you need to perfect praise in your life. Because if you don't have praise and worship, you don't have a shawl to contain what God wants to bring to your life. He cannot manifest his presence and his rhema and his person to you until you pay the price to worship him. Because if he appear without praise, his glory can burn you up. Praise and worship serves to protect you in his presence. Just like the high priest when he goes into the atonement, on the day of atonement into the Holy of Holies, he needs to place a censer, the fragrance on the censer, and the cloud of fragrance comes and he enters in, as described in the book of Leviticus. So we need a garment of praise perfected in our lives. Then you can contain, after you submitted everything to him, you can contain the revelation he's going to pour forth. Especially, chapter 3 is especially the last great move. I call it the last great move. What we're going to see is the outpouring of the early and the latter rain. But there is one more last great move. And in that last great move, suddenly you're given 6 ephahs of barley. Now 6 ephahs, 6 plus the previous one that she normally has, you notice brings you to the number 7. 6 plus 1. 1 she already normally had. Now there's 6 extra given to her. And you will notice a prophecy in Isaiah chapter 30 that is relevant here. Verse 26. Moreover, the light of the moon will be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun will be sevenfold as the light of 7 days. Now he gives you a tremendous way. He says, in the day that the Lord binds up the bruise of his people and heals the stroke of their wound. In verse 26, he says, he gives you the allegory. The light of the moon is equal to the light of the sun. Then he tells you the light of the sun increased sevenfold. What does that mean? The moon's light will increase sevenfold. Here the sun represents God. The moon represents the church. That reflects the glory of God. Glory of Jesus Christ. And you notice that, that last great move. See, people are talking about the early and the latter rain. My friends, there's one more that they miss out. The last great move will be seven times the early and the latter rain. That is the move that will bring us and usher us into the rapture. It is seven times that latter rain. Wow. That is what was specially prophesied in the book of Ruth, written for us. And chapter 4 is the conclusion. Now it's the turn of Boaz, the man, to deal with that. And you notice that there was the other man who is a near kinsman, chapter 4 verse 1. The other kinsman represent the nation of Israel. You see, that kinsman was related to Boaz, and Boaz in a way was related to Naomi, who was related in the marriage of her son to Ruth. Everybody is related here in this story. There is a relationship between the Church of Jesus Christ and the nation of Israel through Christ. Although our covenants are slightly different, they still have part of their covenant unfulfilled, the 7 years. And we have a new covenant, but there is a relationship. And you notice Boaz says, I must give him the chance first before I come to you. Do you know what Paul says in Romans 1? The gospel must first be preached to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. The chance must be given to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles. Do you notice why he always said to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles? Because that is prophesied in the book of Ruth chapter 4. The first kinsman was closer and he must have the first chance at it. Then came Boaz. And you notice of all things after the kinsman agreed, the kinsman was more interested in the land than in Ruth. Just like Israel and her covenant relates to the piece of land she has. And it all revolves around that piece of land that she has. While the church is a spiritual church, which Jesus says, the day shall come that you will not worship God on this mountain, nor in Jerusalem, but you will worship me in spirit and in truth. John chapter 4. Pointing to the new covenant. And notice after the kinsmen agreed to pass it to Boaz, to have the chance for Ruth, of all things, the custom that was used was interesting and prophetic. They took the shoe, right? It was a custom to take the shoe, right? And sort of, you know, show it to the other person. I'm not making this up. This is in the Bible, Ruth chapter 4. You know this? It says here, in chapter 4 of Ruth, verse 7. Now this was the custom in former times in Israel, concerning redeeming and exchanging to confirm anything. One man took off his sandal and gave it to the other, and this was an attestation in Israel. They give the shoe. Why the shoe? Interestingly enough, what we are talking about is the gospel. And the gospel in the New Testament is always symbolized as shoes. Paul calls it in Romans chapter 10, the gospel of the shoes of the gospel, and says in Romans 10, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good tidings. Talking about the gospel. And whenever we talk about the gospel, he always talked about the shoes of the gospel of peace. See, all these are prophetic in Ruth. People never realized Ruth was prophetic. It is. It's as powerful as one of the minor prophets. And inside this story of Ruth is this prophecy about the gospel. How it is actually the fullness of it coming to the Gentiles. And the grand story behind it is the marriage of Ruth and Boaz finally came to pass, which prophesied the marriage supper of the Lamb. So that's the spiritual general outline in this book. There are a lot of other details that you could research into. But once you get the general spiritual outline, the next time you read, you pray more in this area, you begin to discover more truths that prophesy about times like ours today. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We ask, O God, that you continue to pour your wisdom and revelation in our lives. And we ask, God, that you establish the work of God in each heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you stand together with me and we just sing "To God Be the Glory"? Our next meeting is November 25th, and we will be covering on the book of Judges. All right? Judges, right? We just switch over. Praise God.